seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy to be back with you. It's an exciting day if you like NBA basketball. If you're into the NBA, the trade deadline, it gives you optimism. Well, for some fans. Other fans, you're starting to look at the rebuild. And if you're an Orlando Magic fan, that's exactly what you get today. A massive rebuild as both Vucevic and Gordon are gone. And you might as well if you're the Magic. You're at 15-29. Not a good look. You've tried to rebuild for the last 4 or 5 years around this corner. It didn't work. And you had some frustrated players. So you make a couple of moves. I don't think it's the worst thing for the Orlando Magic. We will talk more about their moves in just a bit. Biggest move of the day. Yeah, I think it goes to Chicago. I think it goes to the Bulls, landing Vucevic from Orlando. Maybe Denver. You know what? I'm going to have to switch that. I'm going to say Denver because they get Aaron Gordon from Orlando. But in my mind, the two biggest deals of the day involve the Orlando Magic. The Denver Nuggets got better. The Nuggets got a lot better today. They traded basically Gary Harris and a first-round draft pick, and in return, they get Aaron Gordon. And they also made a move to bring back JaVale McGee. And this was probably the biggest winner of the day because the Nuggets get front-court help, they get some defense, and they get a guy that can stay in front of LeBron James if they still meet the Lakers in the playoffs. And I think that's the most interesting aspect for me of the trade deadline, when you see teams at a conference make moves to contend with other teams in the conference, and you better believe that the Nuggets made this move for Gordon today to contend with the Lakers and the Clippers. Because I believe that Gordon is a guy that you can use on Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James. Now, I'm not saying he's to the level of LeBron and Kawhi, but he's going to make things difficult on them over the course of a 7-game series. They get more athletic. They get more defensive help, and they get a rim protector in JaVale McGee. I thought the Nuggets were hands down a big winner today. The Utah Jazz, it was quiet, and we knew it would be, but we also knew that the Jazz would make a move. It's just what Dennis Lindsay does. He makes a move. Every trade deadline, or I shouldn't say every, most trade deadlines, Dennis Lindsay has done something to tinker with the Jazz roster. Today, they acquire Matt Thomas from the Toronto Raptors for a future second-round pick. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Matt Thomas, that's okay. Most people are. Even diehard NBA fans are a little unfamiliar with Matt Thomas. Here's what this guy can do. It's a depth piece to the bench, and he can shoot the outside shot. That's essentially what Utah is acquiring in this deal. And I think the Jazz need that, considering that Bojan Bogdanović has struggled as of late. I don't think it's a replacement for Bojan, but it's a contingency plan because Thomas is considered a sharp shooter, and the Jazz gave up next to nothing to get him, a future second-round pick. He's 6'4", weighs 190 pounds, and when he was able to play for the Raptors, which has not been a whole lot, I think he's played in less than 70 games over the last couple of seasons, his main point of contribution has been from the three-point line. He shoots like 45% from deep. So that's the only move that the Jazz made today. But again, they just filled out that roster. Give yourself a little depth piece, someone that you may have to go to at some point in time to spread the floor. That's what you get. Let's talk about players that were not moved. Lonzo Ball did not get dealt. And the Pelicans did not play him multiple times this year with the idea that they needed him to be healthy at the deadline. There was talk that Lonzo would go to Chicago. That did not happen. Instead, he stays put. The San Antonio Spurs try to find something for LaMarcus Aldridge. Did not work. They did not find a taker for Aldridge. He will be available as an unrestricted free agent. He is available as an unrestricted free agent. And the Miami Heat seem to be the front runner for Aldridge. We did not see a trade for Andre Drummond. And so Cleveland's big is going to be a buyout candidate. He's going to be on the market. Cleveland made that announcement a couple of weeks ago. So those were some of the names that did not get moved. And I'll talk more about this in depth in just a bit. Kyle Lowry did not get moved. And part of me is happy because I believe he's one of the greatest Toronto Raptors in the history of their franchise. I know it's a shorter franchise, but Lowry has been that good. And this was a guy that was in tears the other night thinking that he may have played his final game for the Raptors. There was talks that he would either go to the Heat or the Lakers. Neither team could make a deal for Lowry. And so he's going to at least finish out his contract with Toronto. He can go into free agency this offseason. We'll talk all about the deadline. We'll spend a whole segment breaking it down. The big winners, the big losers, that's all coming up here on Drive Time Sports. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA. Now that we are past the trade deadline, it is a short slate. We only have 5 games tonight. We get Portland at Miami. That's set for a 5:30 start time on TNT. The Heat, they did some work today. They're going to sign LaMarcus Aldridge. It's just a matter of time. But they also made a move for Victor Oladipo, giving up Avery Bradley and Kelly Olynyk. So the Heat, they had a good trade deadline. I thought Portland had a good trade deadline. They landed Norman Powell, so I thought Portland was good today as well. Again, we'll focus more on that in just a bit. The Wizards will travel to meet the Knicks at 5:30. We get the Clippers and the Spurs at 6:30. Philadelphia and the Lakers, this game is on TNT, loses a little bit of its luster. It is a potential NBA Finals matchup, but there is no LeBron James. There is no Anthony Davis. Start time for this game tonight is set for 8 p.m. And then at the nightcap, we get Golden State and Sacramento. And that's a quick look at the schedule in the NBA. So a night off for the Utah Jazz as well. Here's what we have coming up on Drive Time Sports. It's been a very busy week for local sports. The Carbondale baseball team. These guys are off to a hot start, 6-1 on the season, but they got 7 games this week. Just this week, 7 games. Okay, they beat South Sevier twice already. They beat the Rams twice, so they're 2-0 in region play. Today on the road, taking on Cedar. Then they'll travel to St. George Friday and Saturday. I was unable to catch up with Coach Cincinnatus for the show just due to the travel constraints with Carbon, but we did talk earlier today, and I will play that interview for you in just a bit. Plus, we'll give you the local sports recap. We got a fun show straight ahead. Coming up tonight, also, we have USU Eastern Basketball, both the men and the women on the road taking on Salt Lake Community College, so we'll talk about that on top of everything else. So we'll talk about that and more when we return. It's right here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. We're back right after this.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
If you want to talk about a packed week for a baseball team, how about the Carbon Dinos? 2 wins already this week against South Sevier. Today, traveling on the road to take on Cedar, and then tomorrow and Saturday, they'll play in multiple games in a tournament in St. George. That'll mark 7 varsity games for that baseball team this week. Carbon's gotten off to a great start. 6-1 right now overall, 2-0 in region play. Should very easily be 7-0. Due to the intense traveling schedule for Carbon this week, I'm unable to catch up with Coach Jeff Cincinnatus live here on the show. It's a game every single day, but I wanted to make sure we talked about the tremendous start for this baseball team, and so earlier today I had the opportunity to catch up with Coach Cincinnatus over the phone, and we'll play that interview now. Coach, as always, a pleasure. Thanks.
No, appreciate you getting me on this morning, George. Thanks.
Yeah, definitely, Coach. I know it's such a busy, busy week for you guys. I mean, 7 games over the course of the week. We can get into that in just a moment. But the big story, Coach, you guys get off to a brilliant start in region play. South Sevier, maybe a little bit down this year, but that doesn't matter. You got to win the region games, and you guys have definitely done that, jumping out to a 2-0 start in region 12.
Yeah, you always want to start out region ball, you know, playing well. You get kind of a short preseason, and you jump right into it, but pleased with where we're at right now and moving forward, and just got to keep improving every day and working through the region schedule and getting ready for the state tournament here for the first part of May.
Coach, in the early going of the season, you guys have played seven games up to this point. And I know, it's, as I mentioned, you're going to play seven games this week, so you're going to pretty much equal what you guys have done in 1 week. Still, you guys have a record of 6-1. What are some of the things that you have seen that you like from this team in the early going?
Well, I think outside of maybe our first game of the season, our pitching is improved. You know, when throwing strikes and getting everyone involved, it's been a big thing for us. It's just as a pitching staff, we want to make sure we're keeping everybody involved, not trying to do too much on our own. And I think we've done a better job of that. And then hitting's been, you know, a pleasant surprise. I mean, guys have been swinging the bats really well and doing some good things as far as that's concerned. You know, consistency at the plate is always an issue and a problem that you face throughout the season. You know, and at times we're still being a little inconsistent with being a lot of base runners on base, but you know, for the most part, I feel like we're doing a good job at the plate right now. And we have a ton of team speed, and surprisingly, you know, we've got, you know, I think 3 or 4 home runs on this early season, so we're showing a little bit of power as well. So that's exciting for us to have, you know, on both sides. But, you know, right now it's still just about being consistent every day and working through everything.
We know how difficult the schedule has been, and so when I say 6-1 overall, I mean, there's legitimacy to that. There hasn't been a lot of weak spots on your schedule. I know you guys blew past Tempview, and the bottom line is that's a school that is an upper classification school, Coach. We talk about South Sevier. Those are region games. You have to win those games. Honestly, looking at where you guys are right now, this is a team that should be 7-0.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I'm getting up that first game of the season to Payson was obviously a big letdown for us and what we did there. You know, that's a game that we should have definitely won and should have won, you know, handily. But, you know, we let them back in. The first game of the season, you know, we made some mistakes, and everybody does early in the season. But, yeah, 7-0 is where we really should be. And, you know, regardless of that, I really believe we've gotten better each day and you know, we're going to be tested, you know, at the end of this week. We're playing, you know, some really good teams, including, you know, the number one team in 4A and Desert Hills. But, you know, for us right now, again, it's about just taking it day by day and moving forward and competing and getting better.
Coach, I know I've asked you this before. It doesn't matter what sport we're talking about. I've always felt like simulation is a good thing. So when you look at this week, having to win this amount of games in a short period of time, I mean, is it a true preparation for what you guys have to do at the end of the year? Do you view it that way?
Oh, but no doubt. I mean, you know, it's especially with the RPI stuff right now, you're just moving forward and hoping that you can, you know, solidify a good spot by the end of the season and put yourself in a good side of the bracket when the tournament comes. But, yeah, I mean, you're just trying to move forward and be better and be playing your best, you know, your best baseball at the end of the season when the time comes. I mean, it's always great to win every game you play early in the season, but you know what really matters is how you finish and not so much about how you start. So for us, it's completion. It's working hard in practice every day and then taking that and being consistent in every one of our games.
Let's talk what you guys have managed to accomplish defensively, and then we'll move into offense. Coach, I know you have a number of kids that are capable of throwing. You also have a lot of underclassmen that can get the job done on the mound. Who has stood out to you individually as far as pitching is concerned here in the first seven games?
I think, you know, after a little bit of rough outing with some walks, Wyatt Falk has bounced back and thrown, you know, two really good games for us, including, you know, wins with Grantsville, and then was our first region win with South Suburban. Took a no-hitter into the sixth inning, and, you know, for being a sophomore, Wyatt's done a good job for us, and he just, you know, he's going to continue to get better. And, you know, we had a really good outing. You know, Cooper Shade is going to hopefully be one of our closers. He came in at 3, you know, no-hit innings to start with Tempview. Everybody's done a really good job. I mean, Jordan Fawcett is obviously going to be one of our starters, and you know, he got on track yesterday in the later innings against South Sabine and was just throwing lights out. But you know, I can really just name off everybody on our pitching staff that's thrown so far because really they've done a great job. Kate Dean came in and did just a solid job for us. You know, Jordan Wright will throw today for us against Cedar, and he's thrown well so far for us. So, you know, everybody's just doing their job and really not trying to do too much at this point. Again, it's just about working through it and strengthening our arms up. We're starting to see guys, you know, get past the 60-pitch mark, maybe into the 70s a little bit right now We'll continue to just keep working, you know, and getting stronger.
Again, our guest right now is manager Jeff Sinceros of the Carbondino baseball team. They're traveling on the road, games against Cedar, plus 2 days in St. George. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Coach, one of the names I got to mention coming off of the win against South Sevier, Rylan Hart had a terrific day at the plate. And as you mentioned, you guys have been able to showcase some power and put up runs. And I know in the past that was the problem. It's never really been the pitching rotation. It's never been what you guys can do defensively, but it has been consistency at the plate. And that has not been an issue over the last a couple of games.
No, I mean, we moved Rylan to the leadoff spot after the first game of the season. I really think he thrives there. You know, he's been really, really good at the plate so far, and having a kid like Keaton that's behind him. Those two have such great speed that, you know, they're a real problem for teams, especially to start the ball game. And again, I mean, we'll just filter our lineup. Brent Nelson has been on fire as well. I mean, he's really hitting the ball well. You know, had two really tough lineouts yesterday where we hit the ball right on the nose and, you know, don't go down his hit, but you know, he's hitting the ball really, really well for us right now. And everybody, you know, Derek Robinson is stepping in our DH spot and swinging the bat well. And I keep on our guys every day about producing more runs because it seems like we're leaving a lot of guys on base, but we're really doing a good job at the plate right now. We just need to make some minor adjustments with some of the pitching that we've seen so far. And you know, I believe these guys have the capability to be, you know, one through even 10 or 11 deep swinging bat. We have some other juniors who have even seen some at bats at the varsity level yet that I have complete confidence in, along with, you know, sophomores, that they can get in there and swing bat as well. So at any given time, we can bring me off the bench and DH for someone and not lose a thing at the plate, and that's an exciting thing to have. I usually struggle with those type of things throughout the season, but I believe it will, you know, we have the capability to do that this season.
Coach, I know it seems like it's early, seven games into the season, but it's really not, because here we are at the end of March, and so I guess this question is more psychological. Have you noticed these kids believing that this could be a state championship team, knowing that that is the end goal, or is it still too early for something like that?
I think it's still a little early. I mean, we keep trying to install that as a coaching staff, but, you know, obviously that's our number one goal. And, you know, you want kids to believe in that goal, and I don't necessarily say they don't believe in it, but we still need to prove to ourselves that we're that type of team. And that just comes with hard work every day and continuing to get better and turning ourselves. You know, we're going to be tested throughout the season, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, it's how we come through those tests and how we bounce back if we're not successful, you know, is what's going to push us towards that state championship. So, you know, we've got some really important games coming up. Again, next week we bounce back, come on and play Juneau at their place. He's ranked number one and doing an excellent job right now. And, you know, we've got some tough tests here. They're going to prove to us where we're at right now and we need to be by the end of the season. You know, but I believe these kids, they do believe we can win a South Championship, and I hope they do, because that is our goal, and we do have a team capable of that, but you still have to get on the field every day and play those games and prove, you know, that's the quality of team you are. So, again, we're just moving towards that every day.
Lastly, Coach, we'll talk about the competition that you guys are going to see this weekend. Obviously, Cedar, it's no easy task. I mean, regardless, year in and year out, they just got a fantastic athletics program through and through. And then after that, you move into St. George, games on Friday and Saturday. What's the competition look like this weekend?
It's going to be a struggle. You're going on the road. You know, it's seven varsity games this week for us, which is a ton. We'll have three JV games over in St. George. So, you know, it's a lot of baseball. It's a lot of arms. You're going to see a lot of action. And again, we're just trying to be consistent every day. But, you know, we'll see a region opponent down there. So, again, it's an opportunity to see them before we actually play them in our region. Like a 3A school in Union, who's always got a quality program, and they're playing really well right now. And then, again, we talked earlier about facing Desert Hills on the home field, and then our ranked number one in 4A. Well, you know how tough a region that is down south as far as the baseball region goes. And so a great test for us this weekend, and then bouncing back and playing Juab at their place next Wednesday before we, you know, we get into our spring break where we'll take a few days off for Easter and whatnot. It's an exciting time. Looking forward to some hopefully good warm weather for a couple days this weekend. You know, it's been kind of a miserable spring so far as baseball goes. I think we've had one decent day of weather where it was nice. Everything else has been cold and snowing and windy, but that's typical spring weather here. But again, just excited to get out on the field and play some more games this weekend.
And definitely. Well, Coach, I know you guys are traveling. You're busy. I appreciate the time. It's great to get an update from the team, and I know we'll catch up again next week. I appreciate it again.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Again, that's Kerbin High School baseball coach Jeff Cincinnaros joining us earlier today. That interview was pre-recorded before Kerbin's trip to Cedar. That game going on right now. We'll give you an update on how the baseball team fares over the weekend. We'll give you the update on that on Monday. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. The NBA trade deadline today. Boy, that made for some interesting conversations. Hard to get work done when you're just refreshing Twitter over and over and over. We'll talk about that when we return.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year. It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarino on KOAL 750 AM.
It is one of the most important days of the season for the NBA. It's the trade deadline, and it comes March 25th, a little bit later than normal due to the 72-game season and the late start. Man, there were a lot of interesting storylines floating through today. For me, the most interesting was Kyle Lowry, because I think you can make a legitimate argument that he is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Toronto Raptor of all time. And he is approaching free agency, and this is a Raptors team that's just not good. They're not going to the playoffs. And so the Raptors had a lot of names that were floating around the deadline. Norman Powell was one of them. I thought Powell would have been a tremendous fit in Utah. Obviously, the Jazz don't necessarily have the assets to give up to acquire someone like Powell. At least you don't want to do that looking from a chemistry standpoint. Powell's on his way to Portland, and in return, the Raptors get Gary Trent Jr. and Rodney Hood. I like that trade for the Raptors. Getting Gary Trent Jr. out of Norman Powell, that's fine. But Powell's having a great season. For as bad as the Raptors have been, Norman Powell has been phenomenal. He's averaging close to 20 points per game. He's knocking down close to three-point shots per game, shooting around 44% from beyond the arc. He's had a great season. Gary Trent Jr., on the other hand, he's only 22 years old. And he's averaging a career-high 15 points per game. Rodney Hood, career-low at 4 points per game. The Blazers are sitting sixth in the West, a half game behind Denver, who got a lot stronger. We'll get to them in just a moment. But I really thought that this was a trade that worked for both Portland and it worked for the Toronto Raptors. Kyle Lowry. There was a rumor that it was down to the Lakers and the Heat. And the entire time this is going on, I'm thinking, if the Lakers get Kyle Lowry, this is going to be a problem for a lot of teams because he would instantly become the second best point guard that LeBron has ever played with, second to only Kyrie Irving. Now, apparently, the package that was being discussed, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Dennis Schroeder, and they wanted Talen Horton-Tucker. And the Lakers wouldn't budge on Horton-Tucker. I don't believe that. I just don't think Toronto viewed that as a viable package for one of the greatest players in their franchise's history. So then you go to Miami. And again, we got a lot to talk about when it comes to the Heat, too. They were also rumored to be in the Lowry sweepstakes. They made a move for Victor Oladipo, but according to reports, it was a package surrounding Tyler Hero. I don't really know if Toronto seriously considered either of those packages. I think that Philly could have put together a very competitive package. He stays put. That, to me, was the most interesting storyline going into today. Now let's talk about which teams in the Western Conference got better. And is it bad news for the Utah Jazz? Yeah, it's bad news for the Jazz. Because the Denver Nuggets got tremendously better today. The Nuggets go out and they acquire JaVale McGee. And McGee was a name that was really being mentioned on the buyout market. And I thought someone in the Western Conference is going to get McGee and they're going to get him on the cheap. And he's going to make a huge difference. We saw last year in the playoffs. Didn't have a ton of minutes for the Lakers, but he played at key moments. And he's a rim protector. Well, the Nuggets get him. They don't wait for the buyout market. They make a trade. Isaiah Hartenstein, two future second-round picks go to Cleveland. In return, they get JaVale McGee. Cleveland's getting an unprotected 2027 second round pick and a 2023 second round pick protected through number 46. So the Nuggets don't give up a ton. And again, when you look at McGee, don't pay attention to the numbers because he's averaging 8-5. You say big deal. But he is now the backup to the Joker. And I truly believe when you go up against a team like Utah, Jokic already serves as a problem for Rudy Gobert. I think there's two or three guys in the league that you can say give Rudy legitimate fits. Anthony Davis would be one. Joel Embiid would be another. And outside of that, it's Jokic, and that's it. You have a compliment. I think this is a lights-out move for the Denver Nuggets. It's the smaller moves at the deadline that typically become the difference makers for these teams that are trying to get over that hump. And Denver is absolutely trying to get over the hump. So this was the small move that the Nuggets made. The big move was acquiring Aaron Gordon from the Orlando Magic, and this had been rumored for a while that Orlando would try to get rid of Aaron Gordon. But all in all, the Nuggets give up Gary Harris Jr., RJ Hampton, and a 2025 first-round pick. I don't think that's a ton. Gordon's only 25 years old. He's super athletic. He said he made a trade request because he was frustrated with a number of team issues. And that's why he's no longer a part of the Orlando Magic, who blew the team up today. And again, more on Orlando in just a moment. But here's a guy that's athletic. He's got great size, averaging about 14-6 per game right now. And I ultimately believe that this is a move to contend with the Lakers because Aaron Gordon's a guy that can stay with a LeBron James. I don't think he can guard LeBron one-on-one. Few can in the league. But this gives you athleticism in that regard. If you've watched the Denver Nuggets at all this year, compared to last season, the one big thing that stands out to me, they don't have Jeremy Grant. They got that today with Aaron Gordon. And on top of it, they didn't give up a whole lot outside of Gary Harris. So I thought the Nuggets got drastically better today. They needed front court help. They got it. They needed defense. They got it. They get it with McGee. They get it with Gordon. And they gave up very minimal to get it. Today, in my mind, one of the big, big winners of the day. Now we'll look at the flip side of the Aaron Gordon deal, and we'll talk Orlando Magic. This is a rare thing that you see at the deadline. Like typically in the offseason, you'll see a team blow it up. You don't see it too often at the deadline. That's what the Orlando Magic did today. They trade Nikola Vucevic and Al-Farouq Aminu to the Bulls. And in return, they get Wendell Carter Jr., Otto Porter, first-round picks in 2021 and 2023. So if you're a Bulls fan, you probably should be fairly excited that you got Vucevic. Al-Farouq Aminu is a guy that can give you some perimeter size. Remember when Al-Farouq was a really sought-after player in the league? When he was moved in exchange for Chris Paul and that Clipper-Hornets deal? This was a guy that could give you some perimeter size. The ceiling was high for Al-Farouq. I don't know. Well, it's nowhere near where it once was. But again, the Bulls, they get some perimeter defense. And the biggest deal of all, they get their starting center in Vucevic. Now, I didn't know if the Magic actually had the guts to go through with a blow-up. There was talk of it. Typically, the NBA trade deadline, it gives us something to talk about, but it rarely lives up to the expectations. But when you look at Orlando at 15-29, you got Aaron Gordon who's not happy with the team. So you move on from him. Yeah, you might as well blow it up. And I'm not a believer in draft picks. I'm just not. If I'm a contending team, I trade all my draft picks for a guy that could put me over the top. Always. Firm believer on that. Give me the guy that could put me over the top. I don't care about draft picks. Did the Magic get anything of value today for Vucevic and Gordon? I guess they got Gary Harris. That's about it. I mean, I look at this Bulls trade. Yeah, you got a first-round pick. Okay, that's fine. And there may be some value there because it is a 2021 pick. And if we're looking at Chicago right now, it'd be a lottery pick because the Bulls are on the outside looking in. Yeah, but if I'm Chicago, I make this trade 10 times out of 10 times. Even if the Bulls don't get into the playoffs, which they very easily could now, just looking at their path. Standing in front of them, it's Indiana, Boston, Atlanta. We're talking 2-3 games. So I think the Bulls did very well. Orlando, it's tough for me to say because you have to blow up the team because of where you're sitting right now. This rebuild mode did not work. And if you go back 4 or 5 years ago, we were talking about the Magic being in the same conversation as the Boston Celtics. We were. There were some moves that we really, really liked from this Magic team. It just hasn't come to fruition for whatever reason. So kudos to them on blowing it up. But it's still going to take a couple of years for us to look at this and say, wow, was that worth it? And the level of, quote, blowing it up is not nearly at the level of, say, the Houston Rockets, who moved on from Victor Oladipo today, trading him to the Miami Heat for a second-round pick, Avery Bradley and Kelly Olynyk. And Olynyk's a free agent at the end of the year. Avery Bradley has a team option at $5.6 million. And that draft pick is virtually worthless. Okay, now, you have to connect that trade to what they got for James Harden. Here's the total return, because now it's set. At least for the moment, it's set on what they got for James Harden. 4 first-round draft picks, 5 first-round pick swaps, 20 games of Victor Oladipo, Avery Bradley, Kelly Olynyk, Dante Exum. That's what they got. Rodions Kurucs, who was later traded with P.J. Tucker for D.J. Augustine and some picks. That may, in fact, be the worst return for a all-time great, because James Harden's going in the Hall of Fame. When it's all said and done, Harden will be in the Basketball Hall of Fame. When you look at that return, unless the Rockets can do something magical with it, that may be one of the worst returns for a superstar slash Hall of Famer in league history. It's that bad. So that's what I'm saying. You can look at the Magic today and say, yeah, they blew it up. It's going to take a little while before we can actually pinpoint if they got value or if they got better on this day. It's going to take a couple of seasons for that. Buyout market, because there are some teams that did not make moves today. Well, one other move I guess we need to point out. The Clippers trade Lou Williams to the Atlanta Hawks. They get Rajon Rondo in return. I don't like the move for the Clippers at all. Rondo is a guy that can bring some sort of subtleness to the offense. He can set up Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, but he's not good defensively anymore. And there's this idea that playoff Rondo is a different kind of beast. And while he played well for the Lakers in the playoffs last year, I still don't like that trade for the Clippers. I don't believe they won that deal. Atlanta gets Lou Williams back. Yeah, that's fine. I understand what the Clippers are doing. I just don't think it's going to pay much dividends for them. So now we look at the teams that did not do anything. And I think you look at the Los Angeles Lakers. And I don't know if the Lakers needed to do anything, because their success will rely on the health of LeBron and Anthony Davis. And there is a report today saying that LeBron is out 4 to 6 weeks. Anthony Davis about 2 weeks away from returning. So if they're healthy, they're fine. But they are going to be major players in the buyout market. Andre Drummond, Cleveland Cavaliers, they could not make a deal. Okay, so Drummond will be on the buyout market. And if the Lakers can grab him, they didn't have to make a move for rim protection. They just got Andre Drummond. Huge. San Antonio Spurs did not make a move today. They will buy out LaMarcus Aldridge. And again, the reports are stating that Miami would be the front runner for him. So at the end of the day, Pat Riley may give up Kelly Olynyk, Avery Bradley, a second-round pick, and in return get Victor Oladipo, who's averaging 20 a game in 20 games with the Rockets, and LaMarcus Aldridge. Think about that. That's sneaky old man Pat Riley doing it again for the Heat. But as of right now, depending on what the buyout market looks like, I think I pencil the Lakers in as losers at the trade deadline. And I don't think the Jazz made one minor move. As we talked about during the intro to the show, it was a minor move. And you knew the Jazz would do something. It's just what Dennis Lindsay does. Little moves that are not blockbusters at the deadline. The Jordan Clarkson, Dante Exum deal wasn't at the deadline. So they make a move for Matt Thomas. That's fine. Fill up the 13th man on your roster. The Jazz, they're the number one team in the NBA. They don't have to make a move. The defending NBA champs, teams have caught up to them. And there are teams in the Western Conference that got better today. So I think at the moment, you can pencil the Lakers in as losers at the trade deadline. Buyout market's going to be fun to watch, though. We got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We'll put the final touches on this edition of the show right after this.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes a strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek
Derek Favors take a leap right here.
I don't know how familiar you are with NBA video games. I mean, I'm not a huge video gamer, but I do get into the NBA 2K. It's probably my favorite game. And to be perfectly honest with you, I spend very little time playing the game. I spend most of my time in the GM mode, where you can sign players, draft players, trade players. You know, you're the GM of a team. I spend the majority of my time in that mode, rarely playing the game, just building a team, trying to build a championship team, simulating, and seeing how my team does. I think a lot of people can probably relate to that. That's more fun to me than actually playing the game. It seems that Sam Presti and the Oklahoma City Thunder are doing that in real life. Because all the trades that we talked about, there was a three-team trade today that we haven't mentioned yet. Philly, the Knicks, and the Thunder. And in this deal, the Thunder added second-round picks in 2025 and 2026 in this deal. So basically, Oklahoma City brings in Tony Bradley and Austin Rivers in this trade. But Sam Presti has put together a remarkable draft capital. Over the next 7 years, Oklahoma City has 17 first-round draft picks and 17 second-round picks. Now, in the video game world, first-round draft picks and even second-round picks are sought after. It's a video game. It's not real. I don't see the fascination of draft picks, especially in the NBA. We've had this conversation on the NFL. If you can give me a proven commodity for a first-round draft pick, I'll trade my pick every single season for that proven commodity. But let me take it one step further in the NBA, and this is where it's so different than the NFL. I assure you that Sam Presti and the Oklahoma City Thunder cannot draft impact players with all 17 of those first-round picks over the next 7 years. You know why? You don't have the roster space to do it in the NBA. And so what Oklahoma City is building, it's unlike anything we've ever seen. This has to be a record. It has to be. I was doing the math. I can't find any team that had 34 first and second round draft picks over a 7 year span. Think about that. In 7 years, we're talking about 34 players. Now, if you're a Boston Celtic fan, you are well aware that Danny Ainge had quite the draft capital. And the Boston Celtics, who really set the stage for a rebuild in a hurry when they made the deal with Brooklyn, sending Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Jason Terry. Remember when they made that trade with Brooklyn? Got the group of picks. I mean, Danny Ainge was just, he was sitting on a treasure trove of assets. What has Boston done? They went to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals against LeBron and the Cavs, and that was it. Danny Ainge has struck out on so many superstar deals. Had the assets to land Kawhi Leonard, didn't do it. Had the assets to land Anthony Davis, didn't do it. That's just a couple. The most recent two big names that were moved. Not to mention the likes of Paul George, James Harden, the list goes on and on and on. He had all these assets, and he didn't turn it into anything. So while we sit here and we look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, wow, they got 34 picks over the next 7 years. Yeah, that's lovely. Sam Presti has to be creative. You cannot draft 34 players in 7 years. You can't do it. So what's the end game for Oklahoma City? We're going to find out just how valuable first-round draft picks are. Last segment, I went over what Houston actually got in return for James Harden. That package stinks. And in the NBA, you never get full value on superstars, ever. We had Peter Vesey here on Drive Time Sports a few years back. I don't know if you caught that interview or not. It was after Oklahoma City landed Paul George. And I brought that up. And he started going back and thinking. He says, I'll have to get back to you on it. No, go over the list of trades in NBA history with superstars, Hall of Fame caliber players, and find me one instance, one deal, where a team who sent the superstar out got equal value in return. And the Thunder have moved on from some guys who will be in the running to get into the Hall of Fame. And for it right now, 17 first-round picks, 17 second-round picks over the next 7 years. I want to see how Sam Presti plays this. Oklahoma City has now become the most fascinating team of the NBA offseason for the next 5 to 6 years. And it's a long way off, I understand, but by the time we hit 2025, 4 years, we're going to look back on the trade deadline of not even 2021, 2020. We'll go back even a year because today's second round picks, whatever. If Sam Presti has not turned Oklahoma City into a formidable contender by that point in time, every single move that the Thunder have made up to this point, complete and utter garbage. You know what he's acquired for proven commodities? Lotto tickets. That's what a draft pick is, especially in the NBA. It's the same concept in the NFL. Same exact concept. I know it's not a popular opinion. You put me in a room with 100 people that love sports, 98 of them would probably disagree. I don't give a hoot about trading first-round picks for proven commodity. Sam Presti and the Thunder can prove me wrong. I highly suspect that's not going to be the case. You have to move these picks and assets. You're going to have to attach assets to get something in return unless you grab a really disgruntled star in the final year of his contract. And then at that point, is he really going to re-up with the Oklahoma City Thunder? Is that the way the league works today? I'm a skeptic. It's different. It's video game-esque. I want to see what Sam Presti and the Oklahoma City Thunder do over the next 4 years. Out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Always fun to be along with you on the afternoon drive. I got to thank Coach Jeff Cincineros, who caught up with me earlier today to talk about the way his team has performed. The Dinos, both baseball and softball, have just been lights out. We have some games going on right now. We will update you on those tomorrow. We'll also have a best of show coming your way. We'll recap some of my favorite segments of the week. And we'll also talk local sports. Tomorrow's the final night of the final regular season game for the USU Eastern Volleyball Squad. They've had an historical season. Final game tomorrow night. Coming up here tonight on KOAL, USU Eastern on the road taking on Salt Lake Community College. Live coverage will begin at 6:30. Tip-off will follow at 7. You can also listen at CastleCountryRadio.com. Have a terrific evening. I will catch you later. Be safe. I am out.